Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host, and I have got a very special guest on today, and it's all about how we can help our children. And of course, we help our children by helping the adults. But anyway, more of that in a minute. First of all, I want to thank you all for listening in and share, subscribe or like the podcast. Share it with your friends. Let them know what it's all about and what we're doing here. Because we have so many wonderful guests on, it's really lovely to get other people's ideas and other people's thoughts about different things. And when we're doing this, we're opening ourselves up by listening to these types of podcasts. We're opening ourselves up to learning, just as our children open themselves up to learning when they start to read books and they start to get other understandings of different things. So that's what this podcast is a little bit about learning, about moving forward, about growing, about opening our minds up to the different aspects of this world, this beautiful world can offer us. But with no further ado, I want to invite this very, very special guest today. His name is Timothy, and he is a very well-known author. He's just written his 86th children's book. So, that's amazing to start with. I mean, I've written one book. I've got like three on the go, but I can't seem to get them through. So, I mean, to get 86 of them done and imagery and everything else put out there, it's a huge feat. I can swear by that. So, welcome on board, Timothy.
Oh, it's wonderful to be with you, Susan, and everyone listening in.
It's lovely to have you on. And you're in Hawaii, aren't you? Are you in Hawaii?
No, I'm actually in Spain.
Spain, that's right. I knew you were somewhere else in this world. That's right, because we had a little bit of trouble sort of working out our times and everything, didn't we? We had to play with that for a bit. But you always say aloha. That's why I thought you were in Hawaii. That's one of your catch cries, isn't it?
Oh, I love the term aloha because it means tuning into the oneness of all of creation. It means divine love. It means humbleness, truth, and connecting in with our divine breath. So it embraces all of those meanings.
Oh, yeah. I saw it on your website and I thought, I went to Hawaii 100 years ago almost. That's how old I feel sometimes. but I went there a long time and it was just the way people say it. It just resonates so lovely. But that has got nothing to do with what we're talking about. So I'm going to jump in and say, Timothy, how did you get from being an accountant to where you are now? Like, you have got one amazing story and we want to hear it.
Well, from a CPA to here, yes, it has been an amazing journey. I kind of had an inner feeling that my CPA career was ending. It started out with an international CPA firm, and I was there for 2.5 years. And the reason I left there was because on one Sunday, a manager called me up and basically told me I would not have a personal life if I decided to be with that international CPA firm. And plus, I was just in my young 20s when I started there, and all of the managing partners were either bald or gray, and I thought they were in their 60s or 70s. And when I found out they were in their 40s, that kind of led me to believe that that might not be the long-term career I wanted. So I transitioned from that international CPA firm to a private company, which was Shearson American Express. And then from there, that led me into auditing their mortgage banking division. And so I learned a lot about mortgage banking and decided I would present seminars around the world, around the country, around the United States to mortgage bankers and attorneys. And I did that for a while. And then there was just something. I was flying to my last seminar and realized that that was done and over and something new was coming. And what that newness was I woke up one morning and the first words out of my mouth to my partner were, if Hershey's can make chocolate kisses, I can make chocolate French kisses. So I set about having a pair of lips designed with a tongue curled out and learned how to, I actually had to learn how to dip and temper and mold chocolates because the company that I hired to do that for me saw that this might really take off. They tripled the price on me. So I learned how to do it myself, opened up my own little chocolate shop. And it was and I never really liked chocolate before I opened up that chocolate shop. That's a whole nother story. And anyway, it was in that chocolate shop that I received a large box one day delivered to me that I did not order. The delivery driver would not take it back because my address was on it. He said it was my problem to deal with. And being a certified public accountant and loving Hardy Boy mystery books as a child, I found out who owned that box. And when they came and I opened up the box, there were 50 little teddy bear faces staring at me. And they were so happy that I found them and got their box of bears back to them and also let them know in the process of investigating all this that those bears had been smuggled in by their representative between the foreign country they were bringing the bears in from. So they were happy to discover they couldn't trust him. And they gave me this box of bears. So I took one of them out, carried it with me in my car. And after about 2 weeks of riding in the car with this little bear, I picked it up at a stop sign and asked it who it was. And I heard back, Poet Bear. And since I wrote poetry at the time, love poetry, philosophical poetry, I decided to package this little teddy bear in with a small book of my poetry and inspirational quotes. And when I got the whole package together to sell, my mom took one look at it and said, you blew it. That should have been a children's story. And I replied, yes, Mom, you haven't read anything in that book. There's not one line about or for children. It's all love poetry, about society, philosophy. But my mom really knew me deep inside. So about 6 months after that, I literally found the idea, the first idea for the children's story, first children's story popped into my head. And Poet Bear became Bliss Berry Bear, who travels to Earth from the Great Bear Constellation in his Blue Pearl Starship to help children figure out challenges they're having from a different perspective and explain things that they need to learn on Earth.
Wow, what a way of getting around it. And that is really following your intuition. Like when you first said that you had this feeling that was that needed to change, you were going to change or something was going to change. I've had that sort of a feeling myself, and it's very strong. And it, you know, I've probably had it for 3 or 4 months now. Don't know what it is, don't know where it is, but it's lovely to be open to it and go, well, let's see where it leads us. Let's see. I have this feeling that there's going to be a huge change and a positive change, but I don't know what that means. And I think when we're trying to follow our pathway, we can become too narrow-minded and try to follow it in a very analytical way. Whereas when you're looking at it a little bit more open and you're sort of going, okay, what's this bear here for? And you're allowing the journey to evolve in front of you, aren't you?
Yes, and even just, you know, stating, I am open, I am here, I am ready, and keeping that perspective going in your life and remaining open to whatever comes in without trying to push it. So yes, I've felt that many times, and I had no idea. I just knew that the seminars were done and something else would emerge. It was the chocolate shop. And also around that same time, I started to have experiences that I had never had before. So I consciously shut down my inner awareness at 5 years old.
Yes, because a lot of us do.
I was on the swings in a playground one day, and I started to share with my military school friends that when I sang Swing Low, Sweet Chariot in the choir and in Bible class on Fridays, that I actually saw chariots and I actually saw angels, and I didn't get the response that I was expecting. So between that and a somewhat dysfunctional family, I decided it wasn't so safe to be me. So I literally consciously just said that and shut myself down. And
yes, I did something similar myself. I was very aware. I had said something to my sister, and I knew Mum was in a bad mood. We were at school, heading out of the school gates, and I remember saying to my sister, "Oh, Mum's in a bad mood." Now, I didn't know what PMS was or anything like that, so she wasn't actually in a bad mood in that context. But that's how we saw it. And I remember saying it, and she said to me, "How do you know that?" And I said, "Well, how do you not know that? Like, I didn't get that. I didn't understand how she didn't know." When we got home, Mum wasn't in a very good frame of mind, and my sister turned to me and blamed me for it. And it was then that I thought to myself, I can't share some of the stuff that I automatically know. And it was a particular day. It was, you know, like that particular time. I didn't realize what that meant, shutting down or anything else, but I knew that I had to be very careful about things that I was seeing or knowing and not expressing them too much. So yeah, it is hard to step out of that. But yes, sorry, I've jumped in.
It's so true. Those moments are so powerful that it's like me. I remember sitting on the swing. You remember walking out of the schoolyard. It's we just made a very monumentous decision that we had no idea what we were doing.
Especially as young children, I would have only been 5 or 6 at the same time. And I think that sort of leads us to that segue of how important it is for children to keep that imagination and to introduce them to books and different areas. I'm going to ask you a question about how you feel about the internet and things like that, like gaming and all that sort of side as far as children goes, but not yet. I want to talk about your books and why that inspired you to do so many and share your stories.
Oh, like I said earlier, I never intended to write even one children's story. And as I finished the first one, an idea for another one popped into my head. So when I first started, maybe 6 or 7, 8 stories just kept flowing one after the other. And I kept getting signs from the universe that this was something to keep pursuing. For instance, I think it was the second story I was writing. And as I was handwriting out the last line, which was, "And she disappeared." So as I'm handwriting that out, I'm listening to the loud television that my mom and grandmother have on in the other room, and they've got a soap opera going on. And the character says, "And she disappeared."
Oh, wow.
So I thought, I love this synchronicity. And then I wrote a story about circles. And when I finished it that night, I lit a stick of incense. And when I got up in the morning, the incense had burned into concentric circles with the ashes staying attached to the stick and not falling off.
Oh,
So those were just two of the signs that I had received. And another one, I was at a three-day meditation retreat. And at the end of it, the meditation master usually gives out pieces of chocolate as prasad, as a gift to everybody. But this time when we walked out, there were table after table of flowers. I thought I was in a Central American or South American flower shop. There were just so many huge, beautiful flowers, and my eyes were just amazed. And then somebody stuck a flower in my hand, and I looked down at it, and it was a tiny little rose. And that tiny little rose, which I love roses, but that tiny little rose compared to all of these huge tropical flowers, just didn't look so hot. And then I immediately realized that the story that I had just finished before that meditation weekend was about a rose.
Oh, wow. Of course, you know I do flower readings, don't you?
No, I don't.
I do flower. That's part of my little thing. I show you what your intuition is telling you by looking at flowers, by doing flower reading. So, yeah. So, yes, I totally get where you're coming from. And it's all those synchronicities that come through that keep you going, don't they? They're the things that sort of go, oh, well, that's right. Well, I'll just keep going. And even if you're doing something, and I found this a lot too, even if you're doing something and it may not be quite on the right track, you know, like you're halfway there, you get more messages to steer you to where you need to go. And when you're talking about circles, I know with my business and everything else, I've done a complete circle. But although I call it a circle, it's probably more of a spiral, because I feel like I've got to the same spot, but I'm up another level. I've got another learning on it. And then I need to spiral up again. So these are really amazing. So you had these messages, and that's what you started writing. That's how you started writing your books, the children's books.
That's how I started writing. And when I realized, again, I was in transition from being a certified public accountant. And when I realized that I wasn't going to be able to support myself financially by writing books, because I wasn't getting a response that I thought I would get. Mm-hmm. I actually did get a publisher right off the bat, who was the publisher of Ken Carey, who wrote Starseed Transmissions. But after signing the contract, he decided to do another children's story before mine, and called me up all excited one Saturday and said, "Hey, meet me. I want to show you the story that I'm publishing before yours." I read just a little bit of it. It was like written for somebody trying to get a PhD in mathematics.
Oh.
So I realized that this book wasn't going to go anywhere, and it actually caused him to go bankrupt and not publish my stories. And I had another publisher tied to Unity Church who liked my stories, had me go through 6 rewrites on one of them before they said they couldn't publish it because it had a BB gun in it. And it was like, well, it had a BB gun at the very first draft you saw. You could have told me that.
Yes.
But, you know, as I look at the progress over the years, I've been writing these stories now for 40 years. And it was like you said about spiraling. There's times where I will write 7-8 stories at a time, and then there'll be years that go by where I feel like I'm learning things myself that will eventually be expressed through the stories. Yeah. So there's like an integration period of whatever I'm learning in my life so I can take the stories to a new level.
Wow. When you say that, Timothy, it's almost like you're getting your learnings. So you're getting that information, you're writing it down, and then you're living it before you're actually releasing it.
In one way or another, I have lived everything that's in these stories. And yeah, so that, you know, that transition period from a CPA to an author and a chocolate shop, I also like I mentioned meditation. So one day when I was in Hawaii, one night at a luau on a small beach in Hana on Maui, I decided to leave this luau and go sit on the beach. And I went out and sat on a little rock on the sand, and all of a sudden, I became one with everything. There was no difference between me and the water and the air and the cliffs and the sky and the waves. And it was the most amazing experience I had had at that time that I could remember. And one of the teenagers that was on that trip with me came out looking for me because I had been gone a while. And she looked in my eyes and she said, "Are you drunk?" And I said, "Yes, I'm totally drunk, but I haven't had anything to drink." I was in this state of wonder. And it was 9 months later that I laid in bed crying for 3 days because my entire life had fallen apart. My marriage, all these transitions in my job, having to move out of my house. And I just laid in bed crying for 3 days. And at the end of the 3 days, I kind of yelled out to God and said, "I've been praying, now I lay me down to sleep ever since my mother taught me that as a child. And if you exist, God, I need to find you." And shortly after that, I got the inspiration to get up out of bed for the first time. And standing in the mirror, I felt Christ behind me and heard him say, "I will remake you in my image." And then remembered that the president of the mortgage company that I was auditing in Hawaii, before I left that prior year, she'd whispered in my ear and she said, "If you ever need a place to crash, just call me up. I've got a couch." So I needed a place to crash and get my head together. I called her up and she said, "Well, I don't have a couch anymore, but I bought a house, so you get your own bedroom." And I was on my way to Hawaii within a couple of weeks. And on arrival, she gave me a book and said, "Here, read this while I'm at work tomorrow." So I took this book out into the backyard, opened it up, and really started crying almost immediately upon reading the first words in that book, which was, the book was Past Lives, Future Loves by Dick Sutphin. And I knew absolutely nothing about past lives. But the reason I started crying was that experience of sitting on the beach in Hawaii came back to mind. My daughter at 1.5 poking her finger in my back one day, which was the exact spot of some severe pain I'd been going through for weeks and could not get rid of. And the minute she touched the spot, it disappeared. So I wondered at the time, how did she do that? And when she was 2, she was riding in the back seat of the car with us, describing where we were going, and she'd never been there. So I started just searching my memory banks and realized that she had been there in the womb. So that started me wondering when we become conscious, because she was fully describing where we were going. So all of these things kind of got re-triggered as I was reading this book. And then I couldn't get enough information or read enough things about meditation, about past life regressions. And I was finishing up these seminars with a week-long seminar at the time. And the last 2 nights I didn't go to sleep because I had so much work to do. And when I finally did lay down, when this was all over, I immediately found myself out of my body, spontaneously looking back at myself, laying there in bed. The person I was with freaking out because she thought I had died. And I was back in my body as fast as I had gotten out, and on the phone to a psychologist I'd seen every once in a while, basically saying, "Help." And she said she'd get up out of bed and meditate and ask Baba what to do. And I'd never heard her mention the term Baba before. But she called me back in 15 minutes and said, Baba says to eat something sweet to calm the energy down, and I'll give you a call tomorrow. So, and even 9 months before this experience, I had taken some Valium for a minor operation and then a pain pill the first night after the surgery, and found myself in a dream driving up a mountain road and going around a curve saying, I can't control it any longer. And then my eyes opened up out of this dream, and I'm looking up at the ceiling of my bedroom, and there's light pouring out of my eyes, projecting a movie onto the ceiling. And it was like a 1950s, 1960s movie theater where you're looking at light pouring out of the projector. And I'm watching the cars crash, and I'm watching them carry our bodies away. And that was very strange to me. So I closed my eyes, went back to sleep, took another pain pill the next night, have a dream again right away. This time I opened my eyes, and coming out of the wall across from me is a man with a beard and orange stocking cap. And that turned out to be Baba, Swami Muktananda. 9 months before I had ever called out to God, before I started reading this book, before I left my body. And my psychologist friend called me about 5 o'clock the next morning, which was way too early, and asked me if I wanted to go chant with her. And I asked her what chanting was, and she told me, and I said, no, I don't sing for anybody. So I asked her to meet me afterwards, and she met me and brought me a book of it from Ram Dass to read, gave me the name of a Hatha yoga instructor, and gave me the name of an astrologer. So all of that was my introduction into, we'll call it metaphysics, or reawakening myself.
Wow. And
yeah. Wow.
Big story, big things happening. So you've gone through all this, and you've got this understanding. I guess I want you to go back to how, because of the books you've written, and you've written them for children to help them with their intuition and with their imagination, how does that help children to start with? How do those books help children?
Oh, the main thing that I just thought books were fun to read until I started writing them. And I also had the great good fortune of meeting Joseph Chilton Pierce, who was one of the foremost experts in the world on child development and human development. So I learned a lot that I didn't know about raising children and human development, and was able to work a lot of that into the stories. For instance, you were talking about, you know, tuning into the fact that your mother didn't feel good, wasn't happy. You know, as children, we literally know everything our parents are feeling. And if parents can nurture that and keep that open in children, it creates space for dialogue between children and adults. So me having a bad day and making that decision on the swings, and you walking out the schoolyard, had we had a more comfortable bonded relationship with our parents and had our parents known certain things, we could have actually had a conversation and maybe not made the decisions that we made.
Yes, that's very true. So how do we keep those channels open for our children? Because you know, it's very hard to get that happy medium between what they're actually knowing and seeing and things like that, and when they're making it up.
Yes, it is. And boy, I can go many places with that one. But making it up, make believe, imagining is one of the benefits of listening to stories. And what Joseph Chilton Pierce talked about was the human ability to create internal images is one of man's highest achievements. And That's why young children, when you're reading them a story, it's like their eyes are wide open, their jaws will drop. They're totally relaxed and they're absorbing everything they're hearing. Their little minds are turning. They're creating internal images and visualizing what they're hearing in the story. And the ability to create those internal images is the basis of all creativity for us, the basis of our imagination. And if we don't get that as young children, that's one of the developmental blocks that just doesn't get put in our foundation. So, research has shown that children that do not have the ability to create internal images are more violent later on. And one of the reasons that I decided not to put images inside my books, each book has a beautiful cover illustration, and only several of my books are fully illustrated. The majority have no pictures inside because I want the children to create their own images based upon what they're hearing without looking at a static picture sitting on a page that was created by an adult. So by creating their own internal images, they're developing their neural networks and their ability to imagine, which will increase their ability to succeed in everything they do in life. And Albert Einstein was asked by a mother whose 12-year-old wanted to be a scientist, and she asked Albert Einstein in a classroom one time what he would recommend for her son. And surprisingly to her, he said, read him fairy tales. And if you want him to be even more brilliant, read him even more fairy tales. So Einstein knew that fairy tales stimulate the imagination and help create these internal images. And they also create a space for...
Oh, you there?
Am I still here?
Yep, still hearing you. Things flashed, but we're still hearing you, yes.
Okay.
Everything's jumping in on you, Timothy. Look out.
Being in the mountains here in Spain, the electricity does some weird things every now and then, and it just did it.
But before you go on any further, I just want to jump in there, because what you were saying, I really liked what you were saying. So a lot of your books don't have images in them. So they're obviously designed for the parent to read to the child if the child's young, too young to read. But one of those ways, and everything's just stopped. Oh, no, it's coming back. One of those ways that you can actually help your child to keep their imagination going, even though you're talking about it, you're reading, if you ask the child while you're reading the story, what does that look like to you, and get them to then verbalize what they see, or even say, what do you think's going to happen next? And it allows them to verbalize their imagination.
Exactly. And it also allows the parent to, or whoever's reading the story to the child, to verbalize what they imagined as they were reading it. And that also helps children at a very young age learn that we all have different perceptions. We can both be reading or listening to the same thing, but seeing an entirely different picture in our minds. So when children can get that literally just built into their psyche at a young age, that will help them so much throughout life in understanding that everybody doesn't think the way they think.
I had an experience with my niece, and she was seeing spirit and didn't know how to deal with it. My sister contacted me, and I ended up talking to my niece. And I did say to my sister, just ask her about it. Let her express it how she will express it. And don't dish it. Don't say, oh, no, that's just a dream. Oh, you're making that up. Don't say that, but just to allow her to express it. But I said to her, in the same token, if she is frightened or anything like that, ask her how she will deal with it. What is the best way for you to go forward. And if she doesn't know, then give her a few hints. Well, do you think you could put them in a box? Do you think you could ask them to leave? Do you think you could put white light on them? And you give them a few options, and then their imagination goes, whew. And it was really good to watch this young girl go from being frightened to be in her room to actually having control over it, like having that confidence. And that was wholly and solely by the simplicity of it all, by letting her use her imagination to deal with it.
Right, and to come up with her solution. Because yes. what you were sharing is so important. I actually, when you're talking about being afraid of the dark and the light, I was exchanging massages, energetic treatments with a lady one time who was really spiritual, was really proactive in her church, in her spiritual community, and wanted a deeper connection with God. And the very first time that I walked into her house, which felt really wonderful, the energy felt so welcoming, so loving, so powerful. When I walked into the bathroom for the first time and switched on a light switch, it felt totally different. And I couldn't put words to it. And every time that I went to her house and we traded treatments, every time I touched a light switch, it's like, man, something is really off here. And at several months into these treatments, she had a realization that as a young child, she was afraid of the dark. She told her mom, she'd get up out of bed, run out to the other room, tell her mom, and her mom got tired of this. And her mom did not let her work through it. Her mom simply told her, well, when you're afraid, just get up, turn on the lights, and God will be there. So this little girl did that. She got up, she turned on the lights. Well, this little girl didn't see God. She saw everything in her room.
Oh, no.
And our subconscious picks things up really quickly. So I've heard three times. So three times of flipping on the light switch and, oh, there's no God. So every time this lady switched on the light switch for the rest of her life, her subconscious was saying there's no God. So while she's consciously trying to connect deeper and deeper with God, she's got this program running because this is the program her mother gave her rather than helping her work through the situation like you were talking about. So this lady had to realize, oh, okay, I just have to shift my perception now. And that's just one example of how important every action, every look, every word we use with our children is, because just the slightest thing that we think is so innocent can damage them for decades.
Yes, I totally agree. But I also have to say, as a mother and a grandmother and all the rest, we can beat ourselves up a little bit about it as well. So I have this belief, although I may have said things not quite so right, and I mean, I can't go back, you know, in my last 60 years and go, well, did I do this or did I do that? I can't do that. I'd be forever living in guilt. So I have to also say to myself, okay, I'm really aware of it now. I'll be very particular on what I say and do. Mm-hmm. But for the times that I have done possibly the wrong thing and even the right thing, but it's been taken the wrong way, I have to allow that to go, and I have to allow that to I have to sort of accept that. And also I have a strong belief, the fact that my children are born of me or for me or to me or however the wording is. I had these children and there's a reason why. And if it was for some of the things I did wrong, so be it. If it was for my learning and getting an understanding so they don't do the same things for their children, so be it. So, yes, we do really, really need to be mindful. But please, please don't beat yourself up about it, because, I could be in a loony bin if I was really concerned about some of the things that I did, because, mate, we survive, you know, we have to survive. But yeah, yes,
it's all about increasing awareness. And yes, we do the best we can with what we have in the moment, and learn from those situations. So, yes, and my stories are for adults. They're for the adults too. And for me, writing 86, and it's actually 88 stories now, the past few weeks I had a few more come through to me. I've watched how I have learned and how they have shown me things inside me by doing these stories. And about 2 years ago, I sat down to write a story, and it started coming out rhyming. The whole story rhymed. And I really couldn't do rhyming before. Maybe a line here and there, but all of a sudden it was the whole story. And then after that, every story I've done for the last 2 years has mostly been in rhyme. So and rhyming for children, not only is it fun, for children that read rhymes, listen to rhymes, their reading adaptability, they can read faster, they can read earlier in life, they understand more. It helps them put word phrases together.
It takes them up another level, doesn't it?
For my imagination. So I know fairy tales stimulate imagination, because, man, they've really stimulated mine over the last 40 years.
Yeah.
And all of the meditation and Tai Chi and Qigong that I've done has literally allowed me to gain control of my mind, so that my mind only thinks when and what I want it to think. So it's pretty much just open to receiving information that needs to come in. So ideas for stories pop in all of the time now, and I have a long list of more stories to write.
Well, Timothy, we're getting a bit short on time, and I forgot to mention your website, which is, now your second name, is it Stutz?
Stutz.
Stutz, okay. So it's Timothy, T-I-M-O-T-H-Y, and the surname's Stuetz.com. Now, you'll find all the books on the website, so go and have a look at that. But just before we go, Tim, before I say goodbye, I just wanted to mention that you have a free webinar and on-demand training at the website as well, don't you? Have you got just a couple of minutes to tell us about that?
Three magic wands for more creative, happier, and empowered children. It's a wonderful training, and not only is it for adults, and I also teach the parents how to learn how to trust their heart in making decisions and trust their intuition. So it's not just about books. There's exercises in there to help the parents tune into their hearts in making all the decisions they make for their lives and their family. And there's also a book club there where I have parent support groups twice a month in the book club. So the book club is for the children. It has a monthly drawing activity for the children. There's a live story time. There's all of the fairy tales, but it also supports the parents.
Oh, that sounds lovely. And I know that we're a little bit low on time, but make sure you jump onto the website. It's going to be in the instructions or directions below. Putting two words together. That's what I was going to ask you. So with all this internet and all the videos and these sort of things happening, it is so easy to give your child your phone or an iPad or something to that and allow them to keep their minds occupied in that type of visual. But I just feel that we also need to, they're not using their imagination as much when they're watching those. How do you feel about that? Now, I've only got a couple of minutes, so how do you feel about that sort of thing?
they're not using their imagination. They're not being active outdoors. They're not interacting with nature. They're not interacting with people. So yes, the minimal amount of time that any child can spend on the computer and with a telephone in their hand, the better. And there's also the electromagnetic frequencies in those devices that for young children aren't really healthy. So even though my books are ebooks for the most part, parents can print them off. And I even suggest that because not only can the parents share what they see, but the children can also draw what they see. And the parents can help them draw. So there's another activity that they can build in. So the least amount of time in front of these electrical devices, the better.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you too. But I know that life gets so busy that, again, it is an easy fix, but it's not necessarily a good one. A bit of a Band-Aid fix sometimes. So that's it. We're running out of time, Timothy. Thank you so much for sharing your story and those lovely books and the tidbits too. That was really interesting. Really enjoyed it.
I love being with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now stay where you are. Don't go away. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody. Hang on. Let me get the right buttons here. Oh, there's technology. I'm getting better. Guys, jump onto the website. You're going to really enjoy that. Have a look at it. I popped on it before we came on. And it's really interesting. There's a lovely story time and things like that. It's really lovely to give your kids something a little bit different. And imagine, like you say, printing out one of these little e-books. You're reading it and getting your child to draw a picture at the same time, and you're even interacting with them. You know, beautiful quality time. Really, really important. One of the things I learned, I had 3 children in 3 years. I heard it 3 times. Enjoy them while they're young. They grow up so quickly. Now, I didn't believe it to start with, but I took on that advice anyway, just because it just felt right. Thank goodness I did, because my kids have got kids of their own now, and I just really value that time that we had together. We had one Christmas where we made everything. Everything was handmade for Christmas. We got a tree and we handmade all the decorations. We handmade cakes and we handmade everything and gave gifts out that were handmade. And it was, my kids still talk about it now, and they're in their 30s, late 30s. So it was beautiful. Enjoy your kids while you can. I've got to go. I'm running out of time. I'm talking too much. All right. Thank you again for being with us. Like, share, subscribe to the podcast, and we will see you next week. Bye for now.